Good morning. Last night, there was a group of several Kidman families who went to the Pelham Christmas Parade and got to ride on a River Chase church float. That float is now up in the bus barn. There were several families that worked really hard on making that float, so if you want to take a look at it before it gets disassembled, it's under the bus barn away from the rain. Next year, should we do this again, we'll have a pre-float practice for the kids. They're not just staring at the crowd silently. I can't tell you how many times I've yelled, "Tell them Merry Christmas! Tell them Merry Christmas!" Don't just stare at them like you're animals in a cage. But it was a whole lot of fun. I'm a bit tired, but we appreciate Chad and Melissa Leverett and all the work they do to make that parade happen for the city of Pelham. Portuguese Man of War. Every few years along the beaches in the Gulf of Mexico, you'll hear reports of this animal or sightings of this animal called the Portuguese Man of War. It's kind of like a jellyfish, but not the exact same thing. And it gets its name because it has this large float head on top that resembles an 18th century Portuguese warship when its sail is at fully out. That floating balloon part has these long tentacles attached to it that on average are about 10 meters long, but can grow as long as 30 meters. These tentacles contain these sharp barbed tubes that deliver venom, and they'll sting small fish and paralyze them, and that's what they will eat. The sting, although rarely deadly, hurts terribly, way worse than a jellyfish sting. It'll create welts on your body, and it will leave a rash up to 6 weeks. If someone has died because they've been stung by one of these, it's not because necessarily the sting, but it's because they went into heart failure. And even weeks after a Portuguese man of war has washed up onto shore, it can still sting you. It can't swim. It's just blown and carried by the currents, and so it just floats everywhere, and occasionally it comes here to the Gulf or down south to the Gulf. So imagine with me for a second, if your family was headed to Orange Beach for vacation and you were told that there had been swarms of Portuguese man-of-wars washing up onto the shores right there where all the phoenixes are. Purple flags are flying. Beach visitors are being warned, stay away from them. They will harm you. Children, they will especially harm you. What are you going to do? Parents, are you going to say, "All right, kids, get your boogie board, get on out there, have fun"? Probably not. If you're like me, you're probably going to be a little hesitant to let your child out into the water. You're going to be monitoring that water as closely as you can. You're going to be looking along the shore to make sure there's not any washing up, right? Because it just makes sense. We don't want to put our child into a dangerous environment. We want to protect them physically. But then my question is, what are we doing to protect them mentally? Because what we may not want to recognize is there is a major spiritual battle playing out right now before us that is attacking our children and our teens. And that battle is with pop culture. It's targeting our youth constantly. I would say the biggest issue right now is gender issues. Even brands that my family has loved in the past, like the American Girl Doll Group, has now come out with books guiding girls about gender identification and if you're questioning what your gender is, how to talk to your doctors. That's being geared towards 8 to 12-year-olds. Disney, as you know, has their agenda that they're pushing terribly. And then there's the entire smartphone, social media debacle going on. And here's the thing that I would tell parents a while back. When it comes to your smartphones and social media and your streaming services, every now and then you have to be careful because on that streaming surface, you never know when that Portuguese man of war is going to come floating by and it's going to sting you. But now what I would even say is you're throwing your kids into a pool full of Portuguese man of wars and you're stepping back saying, "Hope that doesn't sting you too bad," by putting them on any social media platform, by giving them that smartphone and just saying, "Here's free rein to the internet." having your child or teen with that smartphone is equivalent of putting them into a pool of man-of-wars and wondering why they are hurting, wondering why they're being stung, and wondering why their mental health is suffering. And because as wonderful as a smartphone is, there's so many dangers and concerns when it's put into the hands of someone too young. We're handing children a device that can give them any and all information. And good or bad, there are definitely pros to things. I can look up any blueberry muffin recipe I could ever want at the drop of a hat. But I could also find things that no eye should ever see. More and more companies, like I said, are targeting kids and trying to make it appealing. And it's designed by nature to be addictive to their brains. There's things like TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram, and other social media platforms that kids are spending way too much time on. And again, nothing is necessarily wrong per se with having this or, you know, being a part of that company, but we have to keep in mind that it can be dangerous to the teenage mind to be bombarded with this media and this information all the time. Right now, today, 95% of teens have access to a smartphone. In 2012, a decade ago, that number was half. 45% of children 10 to 12 have a smartphone as well, and the top four social media platforms they're on are YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, and Snapchat. 35% of teens are saying they use at least one of these apps constantly. I'm sure if there's any teens here, they hate everything I'm saying right now. That's fine. The share of teens saying they spend constant time online has doubled since 2012. So now the numbers are double of the amount of teens saying, I spend all of my time basically on social media. And it's so attractive because of what it's doing into their brains. We have instant information whenever we want it. We no longer know how to tolerate waiting. And so we get online and we see something we don't like, and then we blast out something that we would have never say in person. Or we attack someone that we would never attack in person because our brain is just like, go get them. You don't know how to sit and wait and think. And then your brain now is, you know, when it comes back on board, is sitting there being ashamed of what you did and because you no longer have impulsivity. It's also your brain is releasing dopamine every time you get onto the social media platform. I post a picture on Instagram. It feels good. How many people are liking it? I got to keep checking it. Oh, I got 20 likes. That feels good. Now I got to keep going back and checking it. That feels good. That's dopamine. Dopamine's the same thing that when you eat a really good meal, your brain feels good. It's the same thing when you go out and you shop and you buy something really nice. That's dopamine that's being released in your brain. When you are on social media, dopamine gets released. But here's the thing. Your brain can only release so much dopamine to keep that same high, that same feel good. So you end up with what's called a dopamine deficit. And that's when you're on your phone and you're like, just one more video, just one more video, just one more video. And before you know it, it's been an hour and a half and you're just wasting your life away scrolling, looking at the next TikTok dance or whatever. It's no longer feeling good. You're just like a zombie. And the more you get on social media, the more your brain is going to crave for you to be on social media. It's like playing a slot machine where you're just going to sit there and keep going over and over and over because you might have a positive interaction and you might get a bunch of likes and you might feel really good for a split second. There's a high and then there's the low that comes with your brain adjusting to the amount of dopamine that's being released while you're on social media. Just one more video, just one more post. And again, it's not one size fits all. Some people can get on social media and they can step away from it very easily. Get on, see what their family and friends are doing, and get off of it. Some people can be stung by a man of war and have minimal issues. Some people can get stung by a man of war and have serious complications, right? So as a parent, if I'm doing my best to raise my child with a healthy body and mind, then what am I doing? Social media, in its very essence, causes increases in jealousy, frustration, anxiety, and depression. Instagram is the king of comparison. I remember when I was in college, it was Christmas morning, we had opened up our gifts, I'd received, you know, a nice coat and who knows what else, plenty. And then later that morning before lunch, I got on Instagram, and all I'm seeing is what everyone else got. and how wonderful their vacations are and how wonderful their perfect lives are. And what do you think I'm feeling? My life's the worst. Because look how great everyone else is. It's wrong. And yet we're saying, here you go, 10-year-old, use this. It'll make you feel good. We're looking at everyone else wondering, why are they so much better than I am? Put that into the mind of a 13-year-old, and what are they doing with that, right? Their brain is growing so rapidly, they don't have the discernment between what is truth, what's reality, what is heavily edited, what is manipulated, what is made to look perfect. They don't get it. Social media is stealing their joy. It's addictive by design, and it's causing major issues. And you cannot control the content, even if you think you can make the algorithm work in your favor to give you what you want. Things you cannot control: sexual content that's going to come across your phone, inappropriate content that's going to come across your phone, the text that people are going to send your child, the photos that are going to be sent to your child. You can't control that no matter how locked down you get it. That's why today we're seeing rises in teen suicide. We're seeing rises in depression and anxiety, and a rise in medicated teens and preteens. We have a group of teenagers right now across America who are statistically less likely to engage in risky behavior. They're less likely to engage in sexual behavior. However, they are needing to be medicated more heavily than any other generation so that they can function throughout their life and lessen their depression. And I'm a believer in battling depression. I think it's a real thing. I'm not trying to discount that at all. But here's the thing, their brains have been stung so many times that they are now numb. They are swimming in a pool of man-o-wars. So as a church, what are we doing to combat this? Because it's a problem right here at River Chase. It's been a problem at any other church I've been a part of. We can't keep raising our kids to the world standards and wonder why when they leave our house, they no longer love God. We just can't keep doing that. Technology in its place is not inherently bad. However, what we are seeing is more and more families have lost that family connection because what's risen is an internet connection. So we have got to begin to take a different stand. Smartphone ignorance does not excuse vigilant parenting. Follow along as I read to you from Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 25. Luke chapter 9, 23 through 25 reads, "Then he said to them all, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self?'" What good is it for you to have 1 million-plus followers and have the world at your hand if you don't know Jesus? And Colossians 3, 1 through 2 reads, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." As parents, we are fighting so much noise with smartphones. Our kids are constantly on them, and they are taking away the precious little bit of time that you have with them. It starts at home. So the first thing I think you have to do is recognize, parents, what are your smartphone habits? How many minutes do you think during a day are you spending on your phone? And then, not to Jesus juke you, but how many times are you then spending in prayer or devotional, family devotional, reading the scriptures, family time where you're unplugged? I would be embarrassed to say that there's days where that smartphone outweighs the time that I would be with my kids. At the beginning of December, Lee and I started a genealogy study of Jesus with our kids. You know, it's leading up to Christmas. And last week, there were some long nights, and I found myself thinking, do we have to do family Bible study? I just want the kids in bed. I want to go lay down. But what my brain isn't doing is saying, 30 minutes on Instagram. Right? I can waste so much time on my phone without thinking about it. But then when it comes to doing something with my family, I'm like, oh, not again. That's horrible. That's completely backwards is the way it should be. So real quick, here's some strategies that I think could help you as it comes to reining back in our social media use and getting control of our family. Number one, delay social media and smartphones as long as possible with your children. Not everyone has one. They're going to say, but everybody has an iPhone. Not everyone has one, and so be it if they do. I promise you, you will not regret it in the long haul to not hand over a smartphone immediately. And let me go ahead and say, like I said, everyone's different with the ability of getting stung. Some kids are going to be more mature quicker to handle a smartphone, to handle a social media app than other kids. I can look at my own kids and think about how and when they are going to be ready for certain things. One kid could be ready by 13 and understand the responsibility. One kid may not be ready until never. You never know. So we need to keep a mindset that we are working on a long-term goal here. This is not short-term gain. We are looking at the long picture of getting our children to heaven and getting them to know God. Keep the mindset that I am setting my heart on things above, not on what the world tells me to set my heart on. Because once the smartphone app is in your hand, you parent no longer have control. You may think you have control, there's parental controls, but you do not have control of what's going to come across that phone. Number two, take control of the Wi-Fi. There's so many devices out there right now. There's one called the Circle, where you can literally set times for when things get kicked off the router or the internet at your house. So I can say, my children's phones no longer work with the internet while my phone can still work. Or the internet just is going to shut down at 8 o'clock, or whatever you want to say. And from your parent, from your phone, you can decide when and where it happens with just the click of a button. And if your child comes to you and is like, I really have a history project and I'm just reading my Bible, then they can give you their exact reason and you can connect right back to the internet until they're done, and then you can kick them off. Take control of what comes on your streaming services. There's VidAngel and there's other things out there for you to monitor and filter the things that your children watch. Make sure you have the settings set where they can't just get on there and watch whatever they want when they want. Keep your screens and their screens out of their bedrooms. There's no reason, I can't think of one good reason for a cell phone to be in a child's bedroom. Guys, I've worked with way too many kids who are in trouble with the law because of photos and things that have come across their phones, and it's happened at night or it's happened at school. And these could become felony type things because of the seriousness of the nature. Set a time for that phone to be put down in, you know, the main floor of your house where it can be charged for the night, and your kid will get it the next day and they'll be fine. Pay attention to how they're using the social media. Talk to them about it. You may find that there's a new interest in like playing the ukulele. All right, let's look up some YouTube videos on ukulele. Let's look at that together. That's a time to connect, actual connection with them. You may find that they're obsessing over how they can't get the next TikTok dance down. That's a whole nother conversation and a whole nother problem to deal with. Begin introducing some cell phone free nights. Parents, you put yours away. Kids, they don't have theirs either. And you are actually connecting as a family. You're going to get out board games. You're going to go for a walk or a run. You're going to do something that doesn't involve a screen in front of all of you. And then take back the family dinner, the family vacation, and the family car rides. It's okay for your child to be bored in the car. It's okay for your teen to be bored in the car. It'll be miserable at first, but it's okay to be bored. You may find that you all get a chance to pick a song that you like. You may find that you get to talk about something. I don't know. Kids ask 20 questions in 30 seconds. You may sit in silence. I love silence. All these things are going to receive pushback. Why? Because your kid's brain has been wired to love this stuff. And so when all of a sudden you say, I'm taking it away from you, of course they're going to be like, yeah, I need it. They don't need it. You're going to be told, you're so strict, you're the meanest parent. Great, good for me. Of course they're going to be upset. putting guidelines that weren't in place at the beginning into place now is not fun. It's not fun. But here's the thing about a teenage brain. It actually really loves boundaries. It really, really does love them. Teens now have an excuse to fall back on and say, my parents say I can't. I will gladly let my kids say, my dad said I can't, as many times as they want to when they're in their teenage years. Because my job is for the long haul to point them to Jesus and get them to heaven. We can't go back and unsee what the brain has seen, but we can begin to heal it. We're not called to raise cool teenagers who do everything like everyone else. We're called to raise children who know God and put God first, and we only have a few years to do that. So when I think about this seriousness of actually fighting a spiritual war, and that is what I believe this is, and Satan is working hard to put ungodliness into my kids' lives and yours. Companies are celebrating it. They're woke. They're amazing with the things they do. We have to look at Ephesians 6 again, verses 10 through 20. Read with me as I read from Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's evil schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around you, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Three things right there. Stand firm, ready yourself, and attack. To stand firm is to remember where our strength comes from. It's not going to be easy because more and more and more the world and other parents are going to say, it's fine, just take the phone. I know you need to call me when you get out of school or whatever. We justify it. Stand firm. Your strength is going to come from the mighty power that we see in chapter 2. It reminds us that we were raised up and we sit with him, Jesus, and we're standing on this foundation of the apostles and the prophets and Jesus himself. And they went through a whole lot more than I probably will ever go through. We aren't alone, so stand firm. Stand firm in your safety protections that you put in place in your house. Stand firm in the choices for what you decide your child can and cannot watch. Stand firm in limiting the time your child is on social media. You're not their best friend, you're their parent. And then put on your armor. You're fighting against worldliness every day, so you have to be prepared. We can't outrun it, but we can gear up to fight it. So we put on the full armor of God and we stand our ground and we wear that belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. Our feet are fitted with the gospel of peace. We have our shield, our helmet of salvation, our sword. Sometimes I think, I was talking with Katie Yeager about this earlier this week. Sometimes I think we look at this as like a cutesy little preschool craft. Let's glue all the armor pieces onto the little man and it's so sweet and let's talk about it. This is a real thing. If you are not ready, if this is not what you're living by, your child, well, I can say will fall away. But if we are not doing our best with this, then our family doesn't stand as great of a chance, right? We have to be ready. We are geared up as image bearers, ready to defeat Satan. If I am walking around like that, then I am blocking and fighting the content that's coming into my family's home because I am trying to wear the image of who Jesus is. Maybe fighting looks like you're limiting time online. Maybe fighting looks like you're doing a 30-day detox from your cell phone. Fighting definitely is spending more time with God and His Word so that you are prepared. Finally, you've got to attack. And the way he describes attacking in verse 18 through 20 is prayer. Pray for your teens and your children. Pray for their attitudes. Pray that they may be innocent and blameless. Pray for their friends and the things that they're watching. Pray for the church as a whole to continue finding ways to confront and tackle this issue. Pray that we may be bold to take action, to take a stand, and that we may never be known as those who call evil good and good evil. Like Paul writes at the end of verse 20, pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. My prayer for our parents here is that they will lead boldly, they will teach truth, and they will protect their children from the evil that comes. And finally, let's say we already are a family that's been having issues with this. What are we supposed to do? What do I do if my child has already been exposed to horrible things that they never should have seen? I will tell you that's happened in our family itself. Through no fault of Leah or I's, it's just things that have happened. What do you do? I think the first thing you've got to do is give thanks that the struggle has been revealed. Because when it comes to social media and smartphones, that is a little tablet holding a lot of dark secrets. And so if you are able to find out that your teen is struggling with something, give thanks to God that you now know and that you are no longer ignorant. Pray with them and pray over them, confront them, talk with them, and look for how is that child responding? Is there a remorse? Is there an attitude of repentance? If not, then that may be looking into further things that need to happen. There's plenty of Christian counselors out there and things of that nature. You may find that you've got to make some radical changes. Again, they're not going to like it, but the phone may need to go away. The apps may need to be deleted. There's never a good time to be in the middle of spiritual warfare, right? Satan is ready to attack when you're at your weakest. So create a plan of action for your children. How are you going to change the behavior? Show them the way forward. Give them hope. Again, teens are going to act like they hate it. They will hate it in the moment. But secretly, deep down, boundaries are a great, great thing. And keep loving them as you move forward. So today, that was a lot. Smartphones with social media are like a Portuguese man of war. They'll sting you, they'll harm your brain, and they'll turn it numb. If we wouldn't put our child in a pool of Portuguese man of wars, then why would we give them smartphones without any safety plans in place and wonder why they're getting damaged? We cannot ignore the statistics that are coming at us about mental health and think that my kid will never suffer from that. We have to be proactive. We have to remember parenting's for the long haul. Technology is only going to evolve, and it's not all bad. I know that. And there are benefits to it as well. But we have to stand guard. We have to be geared up, and we have to be ready to attack. We have to stand firm, stand firm, stand firm. Remember, you're fighting this spiritual war. Satan is active through the social media apps, through companies, through media. And he's corrupting many, many kids' minds. Here at River Chase, I believe our families, we've got to be a united front. We have to be on the same page about this as much as we can be. Today, if there's something that you have been struggling with in terms of social media or anything like that, you are not alone. There is always time to change. There's always hope in Jesus. Today, if there's anything that we can do for you, please come as together we stand and as we sing.